Babe, did you see that Moto Casino is giving a $1,776,000 worth of prizes?
That's why they're called America's Social Casino, celebrating the birth of America bigger than anyone else.
You can win incredible experiences at NASCAR and F1 races and a grand prize of 1 million sweeps coins.
So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are looking live at First Horizon Park as the Sounds begin their final homestand of the year. Can you believe it? It's already here, the final homestand. Yeah, October is just around the corner. And coming in today, 62 degrees is what the temperature gauge said on the car. It is going to be a fantastic day. It's going to feel a little bit like fall, and the gang is all here at First Horizon Park. So if you're looking to get in some baseball the rest of this week, this is going to be the time to do it. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, how about $2 hot dogs? Hello! All during this homestand, $5 and $6 canned and draft beer specials.
Ooh.
$3 mini golf Friday and Saturday. Maddox would love that. We never ever come here and get, I never get out of not playing mini golf. Like, it's just, there's, he is always going to make
it's
sure
on the agenda.
He plays mini golf here for sure. Plus, they've got $2 12 ounce Pepsi fountain sodas. So they've got great specials, and come out, check out some baseball. Final homestand of the year tonight. First pitch at 7:05. I said the gang is all here. We've got a loaded show today. So we've got the window open. It's great. They just took the tarp off the field. That means it is game time. It is time for us to get after it. Darren McFarlane, that's me, Willie Donick alongside, and now Chase McCabe in the mix. Chase, welcome the heck back.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Happy to be here. It's good to be, you know, I think when I remembered that we were going to be here today, my biggest thought to that was, oh, cool, I can actually be with the guys. We're all together. So that's what I need right now. But
and you don't even have to take any swings in the batting cages.
I don't. No first pitches.
I mean,
no,
I'm sure
swings.
We can arrange it if you want it. If it makes you feel better, we can do it.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure we could. All I know is my first pitch was better than Conor McGregor's. So that's, you know, I got that going for me.
There is that. Yeah.
But
he needs to stick to his sport.
He does. He does. I do wonder if he did that on purpose. That would be a very Conor McGregor thing to do. But
to get attention?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does he really seek attention?
He keeps a low profile.
Asking for a friend. Asking for a friend. Does he seek attention?
On occasion. Okay. On occasion, he's been known to do that. But, I appreciate it. And I do want to take a moment and just say thank you to everybody that has reached out. And, you know, you guys knew this journey and you were on this journey with me. I didn't really talk about it on the air much, but for the last year, my dad has been battling cancer, and it sucks. It's a horrible disease, and you know, I've always participated in different different charities and things fighting cancer, but it obviously hits a little closer to home now with this and losing Floyd. You know, it's just it's definitely made for a rough month, but you know, unfortunately, it was just becoming apparent that this was probably going to be how it was going to end, and tried to spend as much time with him as possible. And my mom and I were both with him Saturday when he passed, and that was very important that we were able to do that. But thanks to you guys and to Ryan and Dennis and Bud and everybody at Cromwell that has been just, you know, understanding through all of this, that, you know, there are going to be times that I needed to be late for a show or leave early from a show, or I have to step out unexpectedly, and everyone's been great through that. So I appreciate it. And then I've heard from so many people from various social medias. I think that's the good part of social media, is you're able to do that when something like this happens. But as I put on my Instagram last night, the thing that I have kind of come to terms with and realized is it's okay to not be okay. And right now I'm not okay. I mean, I miss my dad. So there are little moments that I have that I cry, and there's little moments that I have that I laugh, and there's been little moments that I have that I'm mad. You know, it's just that's the process. You know, being here today is kind of one of those happy slash sad moments because my first baseball game was a Nashville Sounds game at Greer Stadium with my dad. So it's just it's cool to be here today. But we're going to – I know one thing. He'd be pissed at me for missing 2 days of work on his behalf. So
so you're going
to – I'm back. we're going to – You know, we're going to carry on. But he loved you guys, and whenever I would have to leave, he'd be like, well, tell Darren and Willie I said thanks. You know, I hate that you're having to step out of the show, but I appreciate them for handling it when in your absence. I'm like, well, Dad, they've been doing this a lot longer than I have, so I think they got it. But
When will you be releasing this week's Dad Parlay? Because I want in.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
Can we make that a weekly segment?
Keep riding that.
That was something. So
tell everybody, I mean, we talked about it briefly on the air because tell everybody the story. I didn't have the details and I wanted to save it for you. So,
right.
But I just told people that, hey, the dad parlay worked.
So here's kind of how that all came down.
By the way, Titans money line strong.
Well, yeah. I got home Saturday night. After he had passed away, and I'm just trying to, you know, figure everything out and process, and so I'm laying in bed watching TV. I was watching BYU, and just, you know, kind of thinking about, all right, how do I want to spend Sunday? Do I want to sit here and watch games by myself, or, you know, not? And I was like, no, I don't want to sit here and be by myself. I want to, you know, go do something. And so I thought, and I was texting with Ricky, and I said, hey, I'm going to do a parlay for Dad tomorrow with three teams that, you know, meant something. And so growing up, my dad loved the Raiders. His dad was a Cowboys fan. And I think that's part of me, of where the Cowboys stuff comes from. I didn't know my grandfather, but he always talked about that his dad loved Tom Landry and was a huge Cowboys fan, and dad even liked Staubach, and so that's kind of where that came from. But my dad loved John Madden, and so he became a huge Raiders fan growing up, and you know, Stabler and all those guys when they were in their heyday. So Raiders was the first leg, and then Cowboys, which was my team growing up before the Titans, and his dad's, as I mentioned, and then the Titans. And I said, and Rick was like, okay, cool. We go and spread, and I go, no. No, they're all going to win. He's like, what? They're all dogs. I'm like, they're all going to win. So he goes, all right. And he called it the Big Chuck Parlay because he always called my dad Big Chuck. And so we did it, and it hit. And I would be lying if I told you when Randy Bullock – So, number one, I was coaching Vrabel the whole time in overtime because they were like, when they got the ball back, my friends were saying, all right, they're in great position. Just kick it and go, no, give the ball to Derek.
Like, so, you already knew the Raiders had won.
Yep.
You already, at that point, you already Cowboys knew the Cowboys had won.
Zuerlein had just hit a 56-yarder to win it in L.A. And so, I'll tell you this. Now, I was going to let it ride, but I was curious. And I was going for my phone. Because I wanted to see
what the
cash out would be. Ricky reaches across the table, grabs my phone, and says,
good
no,
for him. Good for him.
You're letting this ride.
Good for him.
So
you cannot cash out parlay.
No,
you can't do
He's
it.
He's like, you're letting this ride. And so it's in overtime. They get the ball back, and I'm just going to give the ball to Derek. Give the ball to Derek. Just keep giving the ball to Derek. Because I saw that, like, Derek was in beast mode. He had already, like, stiff-armed a guy into the earth. Like, he was feeling it. And I thought he was going to break one. Like, that's really how I thought the game was going to end, is he was going to just mow through and break one and end it. And then when Bullock came on, I just go, Brett, hold it straight, man. Brett, I need you to hold this. I need this to be the best hold you've ever had. And boom, there it was. And I lost it at that point. But So yeah, that was cool, and the Titans actually reached out and said that was for Dad, so I appreciate that. But because I was not media on Sunday. I was a fan, and I had his hat. He had a Titans hat that he wore to everything. I had that with me, and it left a beer open for him. So that was cool. It was awesome, and then what a Sunday night matchup too. So that was fun, but. That yeah, if I come up with another one, I'll let you know, Darren.
I'm in. I am way in. There's another dad parlay out there. I'm in. You just tell me. You tell me what I need to do, and I'll put it in. That's awesome. That's a great story. Great story. And thank goodness Ricky did that. Like,
oh,
I would
yeah.
Been
and
so
I wasn't,
mad.
I wasn't going to cash
if you
out.
Cashed
out.
You just wanted to see what the number was.
I was curious, and he's like, you don't need to see it.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
That's true. You don't. So. Don't even tempt yourself.
But
that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was cool. And I just felt it. Like there were even when they were down at the end of the first half and they weren't playing well, I was like, something's gonna happen. Like they're gonna come back. I just feel this. Like it just.
By the way, if you guys haven't seen the new Real Sports on HBO, I watched it last night. They do a pretty extensive piece on Mark Davis.
Oh, really?
He's in my opinion, maybe the ugliest person on earth.
It's pretty bad.
But I get it. He's rich. But he's not as weird as I thought.
No.
I mean, I thought he was going to be a little just way out there like Dad. But I didn't really find him. He said other than his dumb and dumber haircut and just he's, you know, just for whatever reason, he's not going to be doing any modeling anytime soon. He's not going to be on the front cover of a catalog at all. But I didn't find him to be as weird or as crazy as I thought, or outlandish. Andrea Kramer did the interview, and she did a really good job of, like, she asked him some really awkward questions, and I thought he handled it well. So if you guys get a chance,
yeah,
watch it.
I would. Yeah, I need to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And they also do a follow-up piece on Adam Schefter. Well, his story, you know, because he married a woman, you know, his wife, her husband was lost in 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
So they did kind of a follow-up. They've done the Adam Schefter piece before, but they kind of did the follow-up going into the 20-year.
Yeah.
You know.
No, yeah, I do need to check that out. Yeah, it's funny. Dad loved John Madden. He hated Al Davis. Because he ran off John Madden is how he looked at
it. Well, we will come back, and we'll head up to Indy. We'll learn a little bit more about the opponent that is coming here on Sunday, and we'll do that by talking to Greg Rakestraw, who is the Colts, part of the Colts Radio Network. We'll talk to Greg on the other side as you listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase live here from First Horizon Park, home of the Sounds, here on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD products curated for life. We're live here at First Horizon Park, their final homestand of the year. They've got some great specials on this homestand. $2 12-ounce Pepsi fountain sodas, $2 hot dogs this weekend. They've got $5 and $6 canned and draft beer specials, $3 mini golf over the weekend, and a lot more. They're plus going to have some silent auctions, some great silent auction items to benefit the Nashville Sounds Foundation, including autographs from Kristen Yelich, Ricky Henderson, Roger Clemens, and others. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. In just a moment, we will head up to Indianapolis, and we'll learn a little bit more about the opponent of the Colts. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe alongside. I think the last time the Titans beat the Colts here, I think Jim Harbaugh was maybe the quarterback for Indy, maybe?
Well, maybe. There was the famed, what was the guy's name? His last name was Painter. What was it?
Curtis Painter. That was the Peyton when Peyton was out.
Yeah, and the Colts still managed to beat the Titans later in the season. That was a brutal Colts team. That was post-Manning, pre-Luck. And the Titans managed a split. So, yes, it hasn't really gone well here. They did get a huge win last year in Indy.
Not here, though. Not here.
In Indy, yeah.
No, because that was the clunker on Thursday night here, right?
In fact, the last 2 years.
They lost to Brissett 2 years ago, right? Wasn't it Brissett?
Yeah. Well, that was the Cairo. Was that, no, not Cairo Santos. Maybe it was Cairo Santos.
No, that was the Pyro. The Pyro problem.
Yes. I was
fire,
at
fire on the field.
Fire on the field.
Fire on the field.
But it was there was the Colts game and the Bills game where they just couldn't make a field goal. And if they had, it would have helped a lot.
Now, the last
I mean, you could argue they would have won both games.
I think we've got Greg Rigstraw on the line with us, part of the Colts Radio Network. Greg, we were just reminiscing. I think Jim Harbaugh was the last quarterback or under center.
Maybe it was Jack Trudeau.
Maybe. Trudeau. We're trying to figure out the last quarterback that the Titans beat here that was under center for the Colts. We're going back a ways. That's probably a little off, but that's what it feels like. How you doing?
Well, I was going to say that the first time the Colts would have played in Nashville would have been. Did they actually? I know the joke you're making. Obviously, I get that. But I'm trying to think if the Colts actually played in Nashville before the AFC South formed in 2002. Seriously. I don't remember that off for some reason.
I think you're right.
You may be right on that. Yeah.
So the obvious first Titans Colts memory is from before they were division rivals, and that would be the number of Titans fans that were in the RCA Dome in the 1999 wild card game or the playoffs. Trust me, that memory is seared into all of our minds in Indianapolis.
I'll
Eddie
tell you
George
what.
Looking at the closest defender on the Jumbotron as he's hitting the end zone.
Greg, we had Bill Polian on our show. We had a couple of days of honoring Floyd Reese, who passed away, and he was giving his thoughts. And that's the first thing he brought up
he
was that game
he
and
did.
That particular point. Was
we, and the Titans fans that said, were in the dome.
He put it nicely. He said, we had a foul up in the ticket office.
I would hope that 22 years of perspective for Bill have allowed him to give perspective and not just a series of four-letter words about the way that they said it.
He was clearly not over it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think there was a new rule implemented. Nobody from the state of Tennessee was allowed to buy a Colts ticket moving forward. I'm pretty sure of that. Greg, well, I mean, 0-2, but I mean, it's not like, Indy has been able to tiptoe through the tulips. I mean, they had a brutal schedule, and it's not getting any easier. Their first five games are just ridiculous, and now, you know, the guy that they traded for, the guy that they thought after Phillip Rivers had retired is going to be the next quarterback up for the Colts is hurt. I mean, what do you think? I know you're not the team doctor, but, I mean, that looked pretty bad on Sunday against the Rams. Do you think Wentz is going to give it a go, or do you think he's in real doubt of playing here?
I think he will make every effort he can to play. I'm not sure how you can when you sprain both ankles and you're asked to play 7 days later. When you injure one ankle during the game and then you suffer another worse ankle injury to the other one later in the contest, I just don't see how that's possible. So I am literally on my way to the Colts complex as we speak. We'll talk to Carson coming up today. We'll hear from Frank Reich. Literally, I'll hear from those guys within the next 45 to 50 minutes. And we'll have a better idea. Frank Reich will play that close to the vest. They won't announce until Friday, if even then, whether it's going to be Eason or Wentz that gives it a go. I can tell you this, I've been impressed with Wentz, you know, with the 0-2 start. He's not been the issue for this football team. It's the amount of pressure that he's been dealing with from one of the most well-paid and well-thought-of offensive lines in the National Football League. That's been the problem for this football team in the first couple of weeks, again, against two very good football teams to start the season.
We were talking about it going down memory lane. In all seriousness, I think the Titans have lost to Curtis Painter. I think the Titans have lost to Jacoby Brissett. I mean, there have been backup quarterbacks for the Colts still come in here and get the win, or at least beat the Titans in Indy or here. But I'll tell you what. Eason doesn't. I mean, that was shaky. I mean, I don't know why on earth you would be throwing a Jalen Ramsey on Sunday, but I mean, what is the confidence level? Do they have any idea what they truly have if he has to play the entire game in Jacob Eason?
I'm not sure they know what they have. I do think it's fair to say he would be better than what you saw at the end of the game. I do think that's a remarkably difficult situation for your first live action in the National Football League to come on the 2-minute drill against the Rams defense.
Yeah.
So I understand. I get it. Having been out at training camp every day, when Carson got hurt in on day number two, then it became Easton with the ones pretty much for the remainder of camp. Sam Ellinger for a little while got some reps with the ones, but primarily it was Jacob Eason. And I could tell you with my own eyes, I saw a tremendous progression from, say, July 29th until August 25th, and that was the last day that we were able to watch a full Colts practice at training camp. And basically, Eason got the reps 80-85% of the time with the ones. So there's something there. He looks the part. He's got the major league arm, so to speak. Again, I saw him develop during training camp. Is he as good as Carson Wentz? Absolutely not. Do I think Frank Reich can put a game plan together if it's Eason on Sunday that gives this team a chance? Yes, I do. But again, it goes back to the offensive line's got to play better. The running game has to be better because, again, those are the tenets this team is built on regardless of whom the quarterback is.
Greg, it just doesn't look like – I know they brought him back, T.Y. Hilton, and he's meant a lot to the franchise in his career, but it just doesn't look like there's much left in the tank. What do they think they have? How much use do they think they can get out of T.Y. Hilton moving forward for the rest of the season? Are they still confident that he's still got production left in him?
They are. Now, again, he is not the dominant force he was 4 or 5 years ago, which is also why it is not as crippling of a blow that he is currently on the IR. So Titans fans, you will not see him on Sunday. You know, this is the third week that he has been out. He suffered a back injury, and I referenced that final training camp practice on August 25th. It happened during that practice, just going up for a 50-yard ball that Wentz had thrown towards the end zone of the indoor facility at Grand Park, landed awkwardly on his back. He wasn't going to play the final preseason game anyway, and the Colts later that week said, hey, there's something here, and he's going to be on the IR. There have been so many more pressing concerns in terms of injuries, be it to could Eric Fisher play in week one? He didn't. He played in week number two. You know, Braden Smith getting hurt, Darius Leonard dealing with an ankle injury, Quentin Nelson dealing with a bit of a back problem, that frankly we have kind of put T.Y. Hilton's injury concern to the side. My guess is that's going to be discussed and brought up a bit more this week in case he can give it a go next week in Miami. So to answer your question, T.Y. is no longer the guy of 5 years ago. This team is still better offensively when he's on the field, but he is now more of a role player, an important role player, but he's just a piece of this offense, not necessarily the piece of this offense.
We're talking to Greg Rakestraw from the Colts Radio Network. Greg, you can still tell when we asked about T.Y. Hilton. We do have this image of him haunting the Titans year after year. So you're always wondering about T.Y. But I want to get back to something you brought up at the start, because we know here the Titans are dealing with a lot of offensive line issues. But the Colts, boy, you talk about a tough draw. The defensive fronts that they've played coupled right. with the offensive line issues that they're dealing with. Try to spell it out for us as best you can, what they've got there.
Well, first of all, the healthy one is Mark Glowinski. Okay, that's moving on from the healthy
and that's
guy.
It. Now okay, there's one guy. All right, you got one.
There's that guy, and he's probably the fifth most talented offensive lineman, no offense to Mark, but he'd be the first to tell you that in comparison to his first teammate. So let's start with the good news from a Colts perspective. They signed Eric Fisher after the draft, late April, early May. Obviously, former number one pick, longtime left tackle, the Kansas City Chiefs. He played basically, I think, 49 of the 59 snaps on Sunday, and I thought played very well. He had the Achilles injury late in the playoffs for the Chiefs last year, I think in the AFC Championship game, to be precise. When the Colts signed him, I think the hope was he'd be playing by the first week in October. The fact that he made it for week two is very much a bonus. So that helps the situation. Quentin Nelson has been limited in practice due to a back injury as of late. That doesn't even count having foot surgery literally the day after Carson Wentz had his the first week of training camp. Remarkably, they suffered the same injury and had a process to basically remove a bone fragment from their feet on back-to-back days. In non-contact scenarios for either guy, which is crazy. Quentin has healed from the foot injury, dealing with a bit of a back issue. He's been very limited in practice, but he gave it a go last week and played at his typical all-pro level. Ryan Kelly has dealt with an arm injury. That happened the first week of training camp. He has been playing. He has not been playing as effectively. The biggest issue right now for the Colts has been right tackle. Braden Smith was one of the best right tackles in the NFL last season. He played terribly by his standards in week number one against Seattle. It was then revealed the next day he, too, was dealing with a foot injury. We're still kind of unsure as to the exact nature of it. And, again, we will likely get an update from Frank Reich today as to what Braden's status is going to be for the upcoming game on Sunday. But his absence, his not being 100%, and then his absence in general has been very noticeable for this football team in terms of both pressure allowed and their inability to run the football. Last week, the average yards per carry about 4.2. The week before, it was kind of high threes. But the most damning stat for the Colts right now has been the fact they have given up 6 sacks, 3 in each game, and Carson Wentz has been hit 21 times, which was the exact thing that wasn't supposed to happen. That was supposed to change when he came from Philadelphia to Indianapolis. Unfortunately, it's not been, because the offensive line play through injuries or simply not being good enough has let him down to this point.
Greg, you just did a tremendous job of laying all that out. And as you said, the Colts have a heavy investment in the offensive line, so there's a high expectation. But I still look at that and I say, well, they played the Rams and, of course, the Seahawks, who the Titans just saw, two really tough defensive fronts. And you could argue that they should have won the game on Sunday despite all of that and who they were up against. So was it the front of the Rams, or was it, you know, the Colts and these injuries that you're laying out? Because I'm expecting a much better Colts team this weekend.
The answer is that graph where the circle overlaps. The answer is both.
Okay.
It's both of those things. But at the same time, let's face it, the bar is set very high for this team, just like it is for the Titans. You know, when you say, hey, they got beat by a good football team, that's a fair statement. But the expectation is the Colts are a good football team, too. And the same thing happens when you go face the Titans in week number 3. And it is that gauntlet of a schedule that the Colts face off the top. Now, clearly, Miami has not been kind of up to that in how they played in week number 2. So I'm not sure I'm putting Miami in the same classification or strata as home to the Seahawks, home to the Rams, at the Tennessee Titans, then you get the Dolphins, and then guess what? You go play the Baltimore Ravens in their place on Monday Night Football. I mean, it is absolutely brutal, the schedule the Colts have. But at the same time, this is the neighborhood the Colts are expected, and frankly, they themselves expect to be in. So we're having a, much like you guys in Nashville, okay, it's a different conversation because the Titans found a way to win that game in Seattle, and they got through playing two good football teams 1-1. That's a whole different conversation than coming in this week 0-2. And even though you played two good football teams, you lost to both of them at home.
We're talking to Greg Rakestraw of the Colts Radio Network as the Colts get ready to come to Nashville this Sunday to take on the Titans. I know that no coach is going to use this as an excuse, and the players won't use this as an excuse, but I look at Frank Reich's career, and these guys will know. I'm a big fan of Frank Reich. I think that was a great hire by Indy. I think he's a really good coach. But the things that he's been faced with at the quarterback position, whether it's Luck retiring, and then you get Phillip Rivers, he retires after a year. Wentz hasn't been healthy really since he got there. I mean, but he finds a way to, I guess, counteract all that the best that he can. What does it say about the job that Reich has done in his tenure there?
That is the overarching thing that again, you have to acknowledge, but this group, I think, it's past the point kind of excuses. And again, I'm not saying they're an abject failure. No, they've made the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years. There's something to that. They were an 11-win football team with bringing in a brand-new quarterback with no preseason last year. That is an accomplishment. And it's why, again, the bar is set so high for this group. But, yes, Frank Reich and Chris Ballard have been, you know, pushing the rock uphill for the last, you know, 2 to 3 seasons from August of 19 when Andrew Luck says no moss. And says, hey, I can't put myself through another rehab process. I can't put myself through dealing with more injuries. I'm done. And now it's this cascading effect of, again, a year of Jacoby Brissett, then a year of Phillip Rivers, and now the infancy of Carson Wentz. So, no, Frank and Chris have not caught a break in terms of the quarterback position. And you can say that what the Colts have accomplished despite all that is very impressive. And that is an absolutely true statement.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Another thing that I like that Chris Ballard did was drafting Jonathan Taylor. And I see the talent there. I know it's been kind of mediocre the first couple games, but they've had to throw the ball a lot more. What have you seen in his young career?
You know, he had stretches like this last year, too. And being up in the press box, and I know if memory serves me right at Nissan Stadium, having been there many moons ago, you guys get great seats in terms of the press area and being somewhat low to the ground. I'm like halfway to the moon up in Lucas Oil, so I get the 30,000 foot view literally in terms of watching the game. What that does do is give you a great kind of look at, hey, is he picking the right hole? Is he making the right read? And I thought at times last year, Jonathan was having an issue, you know, reading the block and figuring out which way to go. That kind of happened in the middle of last year, and I'm seeing a little bit of that through the first 2 weeks of this season. He figured it out, and the stretch that he was on the last four or five games was otherworldly. You know, he set a franchise record for, you know, rushing yards in a game, 253. I forgot how many King Henry had that day. It was something gargantuan as well, if I remember right. But JT had a great day of his own in week 17 against the Jaguars. So he finished third in the NFL in rushing yards last year. So he is quite the player. He's been good, not great so far this season. But again, I think it's a matter of time before he finally breaks loose.
Something that we have talked about ad nauseum here in Nashville is finding a kicker. Now, maybe they have found that with Randy Bullock after last week. We'll see. But we had a lot of conversations about your kicker in Rodrigo Blankenship, an undrafted guy out of Georgia, but somebody that we saw quite a bit being in the SEC, and it seems like you got a solid kicker there, kicking 87% of his kicks. How much of an emphasis do you feel like Chris Ballard really put it on that position after an organization that, you know, you had Vinatieri for so long, Vanderjack in the early days too was pretty good for a while. They were like the Titans. They had that position figured out, and it seems like they still have it figured out, and the Titans just can't figure it out.
Yeah, Rodrigo has been a find. And again, this was not an investment of a draft pick. This was an undrafted free agent. And the Colts had a streak of having an undrafted free agent rookie make the roster for 22 years in a row until this year. And again, that's part of because of the depth that Chris Ballard had built going into this season. But no, Hot Rod has quickly become a very popular figure in Indianapolis. We love our kickers in Indy for some reason. Adam Vinatieri, Pat McAfee. And Rodrigo maybe has a different personality than those two guys, but it's his own unique personality. The specs, he talks about the amount of time he spends playing with Legos. He's like a handsome brother that's a kicker. He's a unique cat, but we like that here in Indianapolis. So, no, he has been very solid, and let's face it, even for as solid as he was last year, off the top of my head, I want to say 23 of 28 were his numbers in year number one. They brought in Eddie Pinheiro. And frankly, neither one of those two dudes missed in the preseason. Not just games, but an actual, the kind of the kicking camp competition. So the tie went to the incumbent in terms of Blankenship, and so far so good for Hot Rod.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Greg, appreciate the time today. They're always fun. We'll see how it shakes out, but the matchups are always fun, and we're looking forward to it on Sunday.
Sounds good. Thanks for the time, fellas. And by the way, on behalf of the IndyCar folks, we hope you guys enjoyed the Grand Prix back in August. Hope you guys, the crowd was fantastic in downtown Dunder Stadium, and hope you guys enjoyed the taste of IndyCar racing in downtown Nashville.
It was an absolute blast. We had so much fun. We did shows from there, and obviously know Joseph Newgarden quite well, so it was cool to see.
Yeah, as you guys know, Joseph is an absolute star. But there are so many good dudes in that paddock that get the fact of, hey, I need to be a marketable personality, which means I need to be very giving of my time with the media to help sell the sport. Glad to hear you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg, take care.
You got it, guys. You too.
Greg Rakestraw, Colts Radio Network, joining us here on the show, Titans and Colts this weekend. We'll have more on that. Mike Vrabel going to address the media at 11 o'clock, so you will hear that here. But first, Darren, you're going to tell us about DraftKings.
I am, Chase. Thank you, DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. And right now, DraftKings is kicking off yet again another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. So listen to this. All you have to do is just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly, no matter what. This football season, all customers can also swing big with the DraftKings same-game parlays. Yes, same-game parlays allow you to combine multiple bets for a bigger payout. This week, place a same-game parlay on any NFL game, and you will be credited up to $25 if your bet loses. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Right now, use that code 1025GAME, and you'll receive $150 in free bets instantly when you place a $1 bet on any football game. Once again, you must use that code 1025GAME this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Our conversation with Greg Rakestraw covers the Colts for the radio network. Carson Wentz banged up bad. It looked really bad in their game. Will he be under center here? I find that one...
That's tough.
You can't know.
It would be hard to believe.
He has to play.
I know. I mean, honestly, like...
I think that's how they're looking at it.
They're not losing to Jacob Eason, right? Please tell me, like, that is not going to be a guy on that list. Please.
I hope not.
I'm not saying anything on that. I've seen too many no-names over the years.
But a team like this, though?
I saw Charlie Batch basically not throw a pass and beat the Titans.
No, actually, you know who we left off the list? The former Kansas State quarterback, Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
For with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Yeah. Josh Freeman, wasn't that his name?
Yeah. And that was a pitiful Titans team.
He beat the Titans.
That was a pitiful Titans team. So
but
I don't
he
know
was bagging
goes,
right, groceries
know, yeah,
that
they,
week.
They pulled him off the street. They took him out of the grocery store. You're right.
Is that the Thursday night game?
No.
Yes. No. That was like a season finale.
It was a season finale.
It was a meaningless game.
Yeah, but he did beat him.
He was delivering pizzas at Pizza Hut, and they called him, and he came in, and he beat the Titans. Josh Freeman.
But you remember when Ben Roethlisberger was suspended for bad behavior, just to put it mildly.
In Georgia? He was a bad boy?
In Georgia, yeah.
In Georgia?
And Charlie Batch was about 100 years old and came out, and I think he probably threw about 11 passes the whole day, and they just game planned and won. And I may be going out on a limb. I don't think it's as big of a story, because Wentz, you know, he's been all right, but he's still... Is there that big of a difference between Wentz and Eason?
Yeah, there is.
I don't.
Well,
Eason is unknown.
There's
got to
be a huge difference.
You heard Greg make the point. Eason worked with the first team the entire preseason because Wentz was hurt. So
it's a fair question.
They do have a better read on him, and he did get the reps.
He's never started an NFL game.
That's okay.
Carson Wentz has got. He's been there, done it,
and hasn't done it really well.
Well, he has.
You've been all over him.
You have been the biggest Carson Wentz. I know.
But, Darren, let me ask
Downer.
You this.
But we're not talking about him compared to everybody else. We're comparing him to Jacob Eason.
Well, here's where I'm going with this, though, Chase.
He's got two bum ankles, too. I mean,
well, that's the first. You're not comparing Wentz at 100% versus Eason 100%. It's Wentz not being able to move very well, if he can play. Now, they're going to have their press conference here, I guess, soon, and maybe they'll say something, maybe they won't. My guess is you won't get a whole lot of info. But Wentz, when I was watching that game, he was running around a lot. He was holding the ball a lot, which he's always done.
Mm-hmm.
And he if he's not as mobile, he makes a lot of mistakes anyway when he does that. So I just think a very simple game plan with Eason in there might be a better way to go. Because here's my theory. That Colts offensive line has been hearing it all week.
Yeah.
How they've been blown up. We got all this money invested in the offensive line. They haven't done well. We're 0-2. I think you're going to get an absolutely desperate Colts team in this game. And I think you're going to see a team absolutely determined to run the ball. They are going to run the ball no matter what. So I think this is a tremendous test for the new Titans defense that has given up some points here. They've shown some signs of improvement. But I just think that's where the game is going to be won. Is Titans defensive front, the new defense with Bud Dupree and Denico Autry, the former Colt, against this Colts offensive line, regardless of who the quarterback is.
But Wentz does run. Does Eason run?
Wentz will not be running with two bad
angles. No, he will not. No, you're right. He will not. But he has been.
In normal times, yes.
Yeah, he runs. But, I mean, they haven't been able to get Taylor going. What is Marlon Mack? What is he? What is he?
Well, on their unofficial depth chart, he's their third back.
Yeah, he's history, I think. Yeah. It's Taylor is who it is.
But I'll tell you what.
They are going
who's
to come
well
in and say, we're going to run the ball.
Hines,
yeah.
Sure.
Hines has played well against the Titans.
He's the pass catcher out of the backfield.
Yep.
Change of pace. Running.
But he has carved them up. In fact, I can remember a game a couple years ago. He carved them up.
Well, let's take the game 2 years ago when Brissett was the quarterback. That team, even though Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback and it was brand new, he takes over the surprise retirement of Andrew Luck, and they just ran the heck out of the ball against the Titans. And they made it very easy on Brissett. That's what I think you're going to see, regardless of who the quarterback is. If it's a Wentz that can't move very well, what do? Just run it. Yeah. You're going to keep extra tight ends in. You're going to use Doyle, who's always killed the Titans.
Oh.
You're going to play close to the vest, and you're going to run the heck out of it. That's what I think the game plan is going to be. So the Titans are going to know that. They have done a really good job, or did at least last week in Seattle, taking away the run. So I'm really curious to see what that is. But I think you're going to see a simplified game plan from Frank Reich. Protect my quarterback, regardless of who it is. And run it.
Yeah, Jack Doyle, 429 yards, 4 touchdowns in his career against the Titans. I mean, he's...
And clutch.
He's been clutch. Yeah,
key plays, key times.
Those touchdowns have been clutch touchdowns.
And yes, Jack Doyle, to remind people who might be new, was on the Titans at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. Out of Western Kentucky. But to answer your question, I mean, you lean Wentz, but if Wentz can't move, like if he's just truly a statue because of those ankles, then you might be right, Willie, that the simple game plan of going with Eason and just hoping, you know, that your run game can get going, Pittman can give you some plays as you're throwing the ball, you give him safe throws, and the offensive line gets their stuff together, that might be where they go. But
Chase, in a few minutes, you're going to tell everybody about BetMGM, but listen to this story. Have you seen this on BetMGM? The 16 teams.
Yes.
You have seen
this?
Willie,
yes,
listen
I
to
have.
This.
Okay.
So there was a guy on BetMGM that Chase is going to talk about here in about 5 minutes that did a $25 parlay. Remember I told you $25 parlay over the weekend, a six-teamer, and all I needed.
So you had to go 6 for 6 in games.
Right, and I hit five, and I had the stinking Jags plus 6.
Ooh.
$25 one for $325.
Ooh.
Yeah. Stinking Jags.
Okay, so what's the 16 guy?
So listen to this. This guy had a $25 parlay over the weekend. All NFL.
He picked every game.
All money line. He did all money. So they just got to win. He's just picking
go
the winners.
16-0 straight up.
Yep. 16. Nope. Takes Washington Thursday night. Winner.
Dub.
By the hair of your chinny chin.
I mean,
chin.
They lost, but then they won.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a win. Chicago. Dub Bears. Cleveland, the Brownies.
Dub.
Easy one.
L.A. Rams.
Dub. Not easy, but dub.
No.
Buffalo, easy peasy.
Yep.
New England, easy peasy. San Fran.
No brainer.
Mm.
The Raiders.
Very
How about that? Took the Raiders money line against
well, so
the Steelers?
I.
Gutsy.
Carolina.
Okay.
That was that.
It ended up being a lopsided game. But
it was lopsided,
that's not an
but
easy
honestly,
pick.
No, I thought it was.
People were taking New Orleans.
No.
Alan Bell came on Friday and said New Orleans. Did he not?
I think he did.
And he had a great stat to back it up.
He did, but I just had that feeling that it was going to be a Jameis letdown after the first week.
But the Saints, were they favored?
Yeah.
Yes,
okay,
they were favored.
So, you know, you're picking an underdog to win. So
at home. At
that's
home.
Simplifying things.
And at home, though. Carolina. Winner.
That's not a no-brainer.
Denver.
Carolina is 2-0, by the way.
Carolina is looking good.
Arizona.
Okay. How'd that one go?
Elijah, do we have that handy? We need that.
Elijah scrambling to pull
Elijah,
up.
Elijah, pull that. Have that ready. Have that ready for the listeners.
Because Chase, I don't know. Chase may have heard this, but
I don't know if
you'll get a comic relief.
Okay. Okay, so Arizona.
Okay.
Winner. Tampa Bay, easy.
Tampa.
Dallas, winner.
How about him?
Titans.
So he had my parlay within his parlay.
Yes.
Okay.
Baltimore.
Mm. Ooh. I mean, we're talking about like
sweat.
6 for 6 in games that literally come down to the last
now,
play.
I would love
to. Do you guys? So there's one game, the Monday night game.
Right.
Do you know how much is that? This $25 parlay, if he hits, you know what it pays?
So he's 15 for 15 going into Monday night.
What does this thing pay? What do you think it pays?
A couple grand.
A couple grand. $736,000.
That's a few grand.
Yeah, that's a couple grand.
Okay.
$736,000. The problem is he took the Lions.
No.
He took the Lions.
I want to know. Because so Ricky and I were talking about this. I was like,
so,
what's the cash out?
Okay,
like,
no,
just
hold
take
on.
It.
So help me with this though, because maybe this is it, because it doesn't clarify. It says BetMGM awarded the bettor for hitting that they awarded them $133,000 for hitting the first 15 legs. So does that mean that they cashed out?
It says they awarded him.
Or
did they just give it to him?
BetMGM awarded the bettor $133,000 for hitting the first 15 legs of the parlay.
Huh. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's the cash out or if they just felt bad for him and gave it
to him. Can you imagine that person? Detroit comes right out. Boom. Touchdown.
But if I had the
Seven
Lions.
7-0.
If you
can
have
you
the
imagine?
Lions, why not? That's a no-brainer to cash out.
Especially
maybe,
after they score.
I mean, really,
they
probably, Lions on the
they
road.
They probably cashed out, I'm sure. I don't know why on earth
you
would have taken the Lions.
You can't let that much ride on the
no.
Lions.
Especially, like, if they score that first touchdown, they're
and
up 7-0.
And it's money line. It's not
Once
even
you,
the 12
you've
points.
You've got 15 for 15 in your pocket. You have got
out.
To.
So
you cannot let that ride.
I guess what I'm trying – that's why I asked you if you've seen this, because I don't know if they cashed out or at BetMGM just said, hey, man.
I feel bad for you.
You hit 15 on a $25. Like, we're
– That can't be
we're
how
giving
it works,
you a,
is it?
I don't know. No, probably not.
But no, $130K, that's not bad. That's not chump change.
Off
that's
a $25 bet.
That's pretty good,
dude. But
$133,000. Like,
that's college. That's college education right there.
That yeah. But I've seen
at least
that.
A couple
like,
years
I've,
of college
I've
education,
seen, you
depending
know,
on your school.
And you know, for the books, I mean, it's nothing to do that. And so it's because it's like okay, good sportsmanship. Like hey, you. But that's not really how it works. You know. You don't get rewarded for almost hitting it, but
yeah,
unless you
that's
cash
what
out.
I would think. I'd be disappointed.
That person, honestly, like you would be the biggest dope. Like, because that's about right, right?
Yeah,
$736,000 on the line for one more game, or you can cash out for $133,000. Like that doesn't seem. I know
by 1 point.
And Arizona, Baltimore, and Arizona, you won those two.
Oh.
Well, just think of the overtime games, the fumble in the late in the so much had to go right. So that's. I mean, a lot.
Yeah, I would.
So your heart is the.
I think
get
they cashed
many.
Out. They cashed out, which was smart.
Like, I would have cashed. Right.
You should be flawed.
You're
okay.
Cashing out for six figures. So
no, a $25 bet.
Right.
That's a no-brainer.
All right, now and here's one of the things that had to go right.
By the way, Elijah's got it.
Yeah. So here it is. One of the things that had to go right is the former Titan kicker Greg Joseph has to miss this field goal from 30 some odd yards
36.
Straight on.
36 straight on.
And. Chase, you've heard us. We've had the Vikings announcers on before. They're energetic.
Paul Allen.
Paul Allen.
Yeah.
Yes. And he gets jacked up. Okay? He is an unabashed homer, I think I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he would be offended by us saying that. And so he got a little excited here on this play. Here we go.
Snap. Put down. Joseph. Come on. It is gone. No, he missed it. Are you kidding me? He missed it right. He missed it right. Oh, my goodness.
Oh no! Oh my gosh!
I mean,
gosh.
That was a guttural.
Joseph, come on!
No, let it go. Let it roll.
Hold on, let me go back. I clipped that one. I clipped that
Elijah,
one.
Elijah, you got to let the good part. You got to get to the good.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone. No, he missed it. Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
You know what I would have done?
You got to get the signal. Oh. You got to watch the ref.
I would have done in that moment. And Paul Allen, if he had done this, he could have gotten away with it because he's been. I would have just gone, well, son of a.
I wondered if they didn't dump something.
Oh, man.
I know. I wondered if they didn't dump something. I have thought that. Like, I wonder if they just blurted out, you got to be. Bleep, bleep. All right, we'll come back. We'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. Chase, first, you're going to tell everybody about BetMGM.
I am, because I love BetMGM. I love their parlays, as you have heard. Get your payout before the game's out with BetMGM. Place a money line wager on any Thursday night football game, and if your team is up by 10 or more points at halftime, you win. That's a full payout for only half the game. No matter what happens the rest of the way, simply go to your BetMGM account and opt in each week to the Thursday night halftime payout promotion. Want to continue wagering in the third quarter? Keep it rolling with BetMGM's extensive live betting options. Need to hit the sack early? Use your winnings to place a one-game parlay on Sunday and go for gridiron glory. If you're new to BetMGM, download the app and see how you can turn halftime into cash time. Make a moneyline bet on Thursday night, and if your team is up by 10 or more, you'll win at the half. Only at BetMGM. Opt-in required. Must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.